Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I went to the ball game last night. It was quite a deal.
Speaking of ball games, so we are going to be giving away Brewer tickets all season, and so this morning, we are going to be giving away a pair of tickets for Tuesday's game, April 4th at 6:40 p.m.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Be caller number 999,999. And so be caller number 5. And you'll be able to get a pair of tickets to the Brewer game tomorrow at 6:40 p.m. And so if your name is called and you win the tickets, you will we'll tell you how to get them. Okay, Calvin, you can tell them how to get them.
Yeah, I will just collect your phone number and email, and then the tickets and information will be sent along to you.
All right. Okay. Caller number 5, and you will get a pair of tickets to the Brewer game tomorrow at Miller Park. I think we're going to be doing this all season, so if you don't win them today, you clearly have a chance along the way. So, Sandy, you a baseball guy?
No.
Come on,
no,
man.
You know, I followed the Braves closely when I was a kid. I can still tell you batting averages that Johnny Logan or Billy Bruton or Red Shandingst or all those guys had. But when they left Milwaukee, Major League Baseball left my heart. Plus the fact I like things that have more action. I don't really get it. I don't get the whole watching baseball. I have friends who go and they keep track with the pencil of coloring in first base, second. Oh my God! It's almost like a mathematical Scrabble game kind of thing they go through.
So maybe since Sandy has just dampened the thoughts of all of baseball, maybe we should go caller number 1.
I think so. Well, my thought on this caller number 5 is there'll be no callers number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 4.
Anyway, Sandy, a lot to talk about today.
I can say this. The house I grew up in Whitefish Bay is now lived in by the manager of the Brewers.
Really?
Yeah.
He
grew up in Whitefish Bay and was in my son's class at Whitefish Bay High School.
You know, I'm going to the game this evening, this afternoon. Mm. And, it'll be my first ever opening day game. I don't think I've ever went to an opening day Brewer game. So I'm all excited, man. What am I going to do?
I don't know. I've been to several games. I've never stayed 9 innings in the recent past.
So my luck, it'll be a 1-0 game, mm-hmm. right? Because
yeah.
Every time I go to the games, it's 1-0. A 1-0 game is like watching paint dry, right?
Well, it depends. You know, I mean, as a kid, I saw Red Wilson pitch a no-hitter and thought it was really exciting. So
yeah,
but that's when I was. That's when I was into it.
Yeah, you know, a lot to talk about today, Sandy. I want to begin. I can't. This is just unfathomable to me. But McDonald's is shutting down their corporate offices today. Listen to this. Fast food giant McDonald's is temporarily shuttering its U.S. offices as the company readies to let employees know about layoffs. When is the last time there were layoffs at McDonald's? According to a new Wall Street Journal report, McDonald's told U.S. employees and some international staff to work from home Monday through Wednesday so the company can communicate key decisions related to roles and staffing levels across the organization, according to an internal email sent last week, the news outlet reported.
I've got a smile at this. Wow, that's like so they want everyone to be at home separate so they can't have a mutiny at the office or
at McDonald's?
Well, yeah, this is McDonald's headquarters. This must be down at McDonald's U down in Schaumburg, wherever that is.
The fast food chain had announced corporate reorganization efforts to up its speed and efficiency back in January and had set April 3rd as the date. We want to ensure the comfort and confidentiality of our people during the notification period happens. But here's what they're talking about, Sandy. They're expecting recession. I can't believe it. I don't ever recall recession impacting
fast food. Yeah, I don't know. This strikes me as that sounds like the excuse they're giving for trying to just increase the amount they can take to the bottom line at the corporate level.
Well, but McDonald's, man, come on. You know, Sandy, I just don't ever think I've ever heard McDonald's being in any financial difficulties. But I'll tell you, everybody's not doing – I used to eat McDonald's, right? I mean, a lot of people used to eat McDonald's. They don't eat McDonald's anymore. Or fast food. They've kind of cut back on fast food after you read and find out exactly what it is and what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
You would do yourself well to cut back on stuff. It tastes good, but, you know, once you find out what's in it.
Well, McDonald's, I think the fast food industry continues to have shakeouts.
It's not just McDonald's, fast food industry.
Yeah, I mean, if there's new entrants that come in that are trying to bring in more nutritional awareness that they're competing with. McDonald's keeps migrating towards salads. I don't think that they'll ever be the salad king of the world, but I think you can buy salads at McDonald's now.
Well, I think you can too, but Sandy, they're saying that the McDonald's layoffs come as companies across sectors move to slash jobs and cut costs amid a difficult economic landscape of high interest rates, high inflation, and concerns about a possible recession.
Well, I think we've talked about it. I think the sun, the moon, and the stars have lined up for recession. My hope for a soft landing was that, particularly with respect to employers that have some kind of specialized employee jobs, they were holding on to employees because of the lessons they learned from the pandemic, their inability to staff up when they needed to. Now, headquarters staff, you see, I understand a franchise business like McDonald's, they're only talking about their headquarters staff because the franchisees are all independent contractors paying a franchise fee up to the parent, so that's their main income sources flowing in from these on a profit-sharing basis. They get a little slice of each hamburger, basically. So my hope had been they would be holding on to employees, not laying them off left and right. And quite frankly, that article suggests they're laying them off left and right. Right now, that hasn't been the case. Now maybe we're at the tip of the iceberg, and this layoff is a precursor to a whole bunch of other layoffs. But so far, it's been the high tech industry that had layoffs, and that was it. You know, that was the only sector of the economy that was talking about or experiencing any kind of significant layoffs.
So Sandy, it's clearly looking like, and I know you've hesitated. I've asked you for the last year and a half.
Yeah, when's
is the recession
happen?
Coming?
Yeah,
and you have predicted, rightfully so, that you didn't foresee it. But now that
what I've always said is, oh, it's coming. You know, like winter is coming from the Game of Thrones.
Right,
it's coming, but we don't know when, okay? And we still don't know when, but the elements for a recession are certainly becoming more numerous and they're beginning to line up. But what I've always said is that recessions usually are triggered by some unforeseen event, something like the Silicon Valley bank failure and the perceived fragility of the banking system, contributing to then being the straw that breaks the camel's back. And, you know, we're getting closer probably to that straw being uncovered. So far, the bank fragility, while it's been created some kind of tremors, you know, the seismic meter went up in the economy in terms of tremors. It didn't really come all, it hasn't come all the way to recession.
Well, you know, Sandy, when you, let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man? Happy Monday to you.
Hey, happy Monday to you guys as well. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I don't know, I'm not trying to change the subject, Earl, because I know it's your gig. But if I was number five, I would actually give the ticket to Gary, just to show a good faith of bipartisanship. In terms of, since he wanted those tickets so bad last week from Crudy. But I watched the interview last night with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So, Tom, you should call back.
You're going to get into that?
Yeah. Okay. We are. All right, call back.
Yeah, because I have some comments on that. All right, thanks.
You know, Sandy, I wanted to talk about the oil prices,
yes,
and what's getting ready to happen, and so with the election coming up next year, recession, oil prices getting ready to go through the roof, all of these things are signs in a presidential year, right?
Well, I'm not sure through the roof, but they're going to go up. Obviously, action by Saudi Arabia.
Well, by the end of the year, they're projecting
$4 a gallon. Okay,
that's a lot of money. That impacts me, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, not only is McDonald's going to be laying off, but the oil prices are going to be rising. And I was reading Politico and even The Wall Street Journal this morning, they're talking about by the summer $4 a gallon. And when you add all of these different things, layoffs in other sectors and other places together, it just appears that we're going to be headed towards recession. And I keep talking about it because I always remember the pain that we used to experience when I worked in industry. When recessions came.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Sandy, if there's still that kind of pain felt when recessions come, because recessions used to always mean layoffs. And you have constantly, you and I have talked a lot over the last year or so, and you've basically said the business model has changed, and so they're going to hold on to people a little bit longer, but they're certainly not going to hold on to people if it means that, you know, they're not going to be able to, and they're going to be losing money by holding on to people. I mean, that to me doesn't make any sense. Certainly short term, that may make sense. But, you know, when recessions hit, things slow down.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the depth of the recession, just how it plays out. You know, the world recession, the European recession has moderated. It wasn't as deep as people feared that it might be.
They're coming out of it?
Well, it seems that it's a moderate level recession that's being experienced. England's probably having the deepest, and it's still at the moderate level. It depends on what we have here in the United States, but it is the sun, the moon, and the stars are lining up to have for something like a recession, and with the number of months between now and the next election, it's fairly likely that if we have a recession, it'll fall in that intervening period between now and the next election, which means that it could have a bearing on on that election. But
go ahead.
But I do think that layoffs will be not as severe. You know, layoffs are usually done to protect profits. I mean, ultimately, they're done to avoid losses. But in many respects, more recently, it's been done to try to preserve the profit level being achieved. And it could be that companies will decide to take less near-term profit for the potential long-term profit benefit of holding on to workers so that they are there when they're needed, when the opportunities return.
So let's then talk about, Sandy, the implications of recession at a time when inflation, at a time when we're looking at the debt that Americans are carrying, when we look at all these other factors, Sandy, all joining in, it's kind of, and then part of it is a global recession, right? I mean, we're in a global recession. All those different factors, Sandy, they don't bode well for it being a short recession. You know, can't predict that.
You can't predict that.
We haven't had one in such a long time.
I know, but there are, and it's not like our economy is quite like the stock market. The stock market has a fair amount of air under it,
right?
Because it's gotten so high, and price earnings multiples are pretty high, so that there's room for it to go down, and it can go down further if it goes up further. That's not so very true about the economy. It depends on what our economy is built on, and right now it would appear that the level of prosperity within our economy is built on a whole wide range of things, and it's not dependent on, for instance, just the real estate market. The real estate market is fundamentally important when it dips into residential real estate, because so many people's wealth is tied up in their house, and if the house goes south, their wealth goes south, and their willingness to spend money is based on their perception of their wealth. So, you know, if recessions get into eating up home value, that's a problem. If it eats up just the value of stocks, that's not as big a problem. I mean, it does impact the perception of wealth, but most of the consumption in this economy is carried out by people who lie somewhere around the median income. You know, 18% of our population earns more than $100,000 a year. The people who earn less than $100,000 consume more than 82% of what's consumed in the economy day to day. So there's a disproportionate expenditure level amongst the people who earn less because they're spending all their money instead of saving it. So if what happens is the people who are in the top 5% of our economy experience large losses in the stock market, you know, that's too bad for them, but it doesn't have the broad impact in the economy. So we learned this during the period of Donald Trump. He kept pointing at the stock market as the barometer for how our economy was doing, when in fact it's not that. It's a barometer for how people who own assets are doing with respect to assets. How our economy is doing is different than the stock market. And the stock market frequently fluctuates different than the measurements of recession. We've had the stock market going up recently at a time when we might be approaching recession. So I'm just saying there's a disconnect here. And it's not clear to the extent that we have a recession how exactly deep it might be, because there are factors that are pushing us towards recession, which could disappear. The supply chain problems are smoothing out.
So
inflation can moderate.
So, Senator, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. So Sandy.
Oh, baby. Listen.
Is this Tinkerbell?
No, this is much better than Tinkerbell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds like Tinkerbell.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But the lyrics of it is you know what's so great about the song? It's called Wake Up Everybody.
Yeah, so far we haven't heard any lyrics.
I know, you know. I wish I could find a way to cut the first couple seconds off, because once you get into the lyrics of these songs, they have great content. So welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to David of Mequon. Hey, David, how you doing? We're talking about recession.
Hey, gentlemen. First off, I wanted to say if I did win the Brewer tickets and if Tom was here in Wisconsin, I'd take him to the game and we'd have a couple brewskis and we'd discuss whatever.
You won a Brewer ticket,
anyway,
huh?
What?
You got the Brewer tickets, huh?
No, I haven't. No,
oh, okay.
I'm saying if I did.
Okay. All right.
But really quickly with the recession end of things, there. The thing is this, we've had obviously inflation is obviously taking a toll. The banking crisis is not far from over. And then you've got the whole situation now. And I'm sure, you know, we've talked about this as well, you know, as the U.S. is the world reserve currency, it now is at stake. It was announced over the weekend that Brazil is no longer going to use U.S. dollars. They're going to use the Chinese yuan going forward as far as trading is concerned. And there's something called BRICS, which is going to be a new global currency, and that is between Brazil, Russia, India, yeah, China, and I think it was, South Africa or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, BRICS. Yeah, South Africa.
Yeah.
Is the S. Yep.
Yeah. So, what I was going to say was, see, now what you're seeing is you're seeing a coordinated effort where this is, you know, with the oil and the things. Obviously, that's another thing to add into the mix. But now you just saw, I think, there could be some more ratcheting up now that Finland was announced being sent into NATO. They're going to be joining, I think, tomorrow. You really have a very dynamic situation of where you're seeing very quickly that the U.S. influence now is being pushed hard. And what I mean by that is with the U.S. not being the world reserve currency potentially in the near future. It's not going to happen today, but that makes people jittery, and that has a culmination. That will have a huge effect not only on the average day person here in the United States, but on our stock market, on everything. And so I do see that this is quite a bit different than from 2008 when we had the housing crash, where this... You have some sectors doing very well in the U.S., and then other sectors are just doing horrendously terrible right now. So it's a very uneven situation. And I think at the end of the day, a recession will be happening just for the simple standpoint. There's a lot of things going on that we have no control. And it will have an impact on everybody,
yeah,
one way or the other.
Yeah, Dave, I would agree with you that in particular, and I was going to get into that this morning, the world reserve currency status of the U.S. dollar is increasingly getting put to risk, and I think it's getting put to risk by U.S. government policies. I think that the tariff war that was started by Trump was a beginning of that problem, because China has increasingly wanted to liberate itself, I think, from being so dependent upon the U.S. And then the sanctioning of Russia and the weaponization of that dollar status has increased that problem. You know, today's action by Saudi Arabia announcing that they're going to reduce oil production by 1 million barrels, which is something that is really something that Russia would applaud greatly, because they're interested in, Russia in particular, is interested in increasing the price of oil right now because it had dipped below their $80 price point, which is very important to them in terms of carrying their economy. But the U.S. economy currently is artificially buoyed by several things. The largest employers, the service sector, you know, the health industry is relatively recession-proof. And then we've got the military-industrial complex and all the money that is fed into our economy that way. And that sector of the economy is on the verge of a boom, right? So we've got sectors competing against the notion that we would have a widespread recession. However, if and when the dollar actually lost its status as the world's reserve currency, or if that was materially impacted so that many, many more countries would not feel compelled to hold their reserves currencies in dollars, we would experience, that would have a massive effect on our economy, and that would have an effect that could even range up to the level of the 2008 recession, because the dollar's reserve status across the world is very important to our financial world, and our financial world, as we found out in 2008, is quite central to our economy's capacity. So I do agree with you that there is a potential doom and gloom on the horizon. I think it's further off than what is going to be this next recession. But I think that we better start looking ourselves in the mirror and figuring out what are all the things that are impacting that dollar reserve status, because part of it is our foreign policy.
So on the horizon is the 2024 presidential election. All of these things will have a major impact on that election. Is it safe to say?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's definitely seismic things out there. Some of them are just who are the personalities that are going to surface in the election itself, which might overwhelm the others. I mean, I would suggest that in 2020 the election ran the opposite direction from what the circumstances extant at the time would have suggested would have happened. You know, we had an incumbent president in a situation where, you know, you would have expected that incumbent to win, but he didn't. And I think that had more to do with who that incumbent was.
You know, Sandy, I'm not going to belabor it anymore, but, you know, people, I think, should be cognizant of what's on the horizon. There's certainly not great news on the horizon economically for the average person. That's, you know, we've had great news for such a long time that, you know, it just, and that's the part of it.
Well, here's my point. We've had such great news. We generalize like that because what we're really talking about is the stock market, which is the thermometer that we always look at to see whether things are going great. But Tom, Dick, and Mary, up until this recent inflationary period when their wages started jumping up, were not sharing in the benefit. Yes, more people got employed from the period of 2012 to 2020, but the people who were employed were not experiencing materially greater prosperity, so that there was not much sharing in terms of the bubble of prosperity that has occurred over that 8 to 10 year period.
Yeah, but the bottom didn't completely fall out. So people certainly weren't able to, Sandy, lift themselves economically, but they were able to at least sustain what it was that they were doing. And with an impending inflation, recession coming, that will interrupt whether or not they could even sustain where it was that they were at. And
I mean, I think the main thing for Tom, Dick, and Mary in a recession is the extent to which the layoffs are experienced. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I do still predict that layoffs will not be as severe because of the lessons learned from the 2019 pandemic recession, the layoffs will not be as severe. So which portends the possibility of a softer landing, at least with respect to that portion of the population, and the fact that we have a portion of our service industry and a portion of our manufacturing industry that is somewhat recession-proof right now. I mean, I wish that we didn't have such a large dependency on our military-industrial complex, but when you look at the percent of our economy that relates to that, and you add that to the percent of our economy that relates to the health industry, you have a pretty significant portion of our economy that's pretty recession-proof.
You know, Sandy, that and it's still it's still amazing to me that you keep talking about the service industry, because I mean that's what we are now. I mean we can't even hide that anymore, can we?
No, I mean we are a service-based economy, which in the grand world standpoint,
well, so
makes us a little less important, right? It's a lower value add to the world. I mean, we do provide services in the way of financial services, which the rest of the world has depended upon in a material sort of way. But a lot of our service economy is just things we do here in America for one another, right? So it's a fairly self-contained process.
So, Sandy, let me turn the page, if you will. Jim Jordan. You know, sometimes as I watch him,
I heard a guy describe him as the only person. Oh, it was Bill last Friday. That was very funny. The only guy that couldn't afford a sport coat.
Yeah, no. So the thing about Jim Jordan, he's talking about defunding the police because of the Donald Trump indictment. So let me see if I had this right. So when Black Lives Matter, some people involved with Black Lives Matter mentioned defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
It was blown out of proportion by many people on the right. Now you've got Jim Jordan vowing to defund the police over the Donald Trump indictment.
So he wants to defund what, the FBI?
He wants to defund many different sectors of the federal police over the indictment, the federal police. And so,
of course, the federal government has had almost nothing to do with this indictment, which is by a state district attorney.
So how can a man in that position not even know or understand the inner workings? So he's blaming the federal police for what happened with the indictment on Trump. Is he right about that?
No. I mean, you know, it is true that the federal investigation uncovered a great deal of this, which was then utilized. You know, the feds took a pass on prosecuting the particular crimes that are involved in this current indictment. And so the state decided to pick up the cudgel and carry it. And I suppose you could talk about the federal police with respect to the Mar-a-Lago, the document kerfluffle that's ongoing. But I think that the defunding of the government is, you know, this whole investigation of the weaponization of government is really all about an investigation of all the federal law enforcement agencies and legal regulatory processes carried out by the federal government. And the end result of that is going to be like defund them. So what an ironic twist.
So, Sandy, hold the thought. 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. What say you? We'll be right back. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all you teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer. Lynching every day. Teach the children. Teach the baby. Teach the babies. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, I don't understand what Jim Jordan is he making threats?
Yeah.
That we're going to defund the FBI, we're going to defund the Department of Justice. So when you heard people get up in arms about Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who mentioned defund the police, people were up in arms. They were outraged. How dare that be mentioned? Jim Jordan is even talking about it on a higher level.
Well, yeah. So, you know, the government has these different arms, right? There's the judiciary, there's the legislative, and there's the executive. Well, the police functions, the FBI and the Justice Department, lie in the executive branch. That's under the regulatory authority, essentially, that's under the ambit of the president. But the funding for all of that, the budget for all of that, gets run through the legislature. So he's right. The power they have is the power of the purse. And what's clear is that the conservative attack right now on government is to attack the government that gets in their way, okay, that gets in the way of people. So their view is that the Justice Department, by carrying out investigations of, for instance, Donald Trump, needs to get its horns cut because it's being weaponized. Now, is it true that an investigation of a sitting president is proof of weaponization, political weaponization, or is it proof of the fact that it's actually doing its job, right? That it is the kind of executive branch entity, because much of the executive branch is supposed to operate on an arm's length basis, even with the president. So the Justice Department, under our operating procedures, has always been arm's length from the president because its client, the Justice Department's client, is the United States of America. It's not the president.
You know, Sandy, I don't know if the American people really thoroughly understand these threats that are being made by Jim Jordan and a segment of the Republican Party. But the fact that you'd be willing to do it because you're going after the former president of the United States is what's crazy to me. That's the root cause of why you say you are.
Well, what my problem with it is, let's say that they've decided that the FBI as an organization needs to be gotten rid of, okay? And they need to start over. What are they going to start over with? What kind of state police agency are they going to create? What kind of state? For instance, if Donald Trump were reelected, if Jim Jordan had his way, Donald Trump was reelected, and the two of them got together to decide they were going to create a new state police force, what would it look like? I mean, I fear it would look more like the KGB. Do we want a police force that does the bidding of the president directly, or do we want a police force that's independent from the president that actually has the temerity and the capacity to investigate whoever it is that's committing a crime or might be committing a crime in this country, including the president of the United States? That's the rule of law that has differentiated our system from many other governments in the world. And what Jim Jordan, if he sat back and thought about it, what he's really talking about is getting rid of a Justice Department and getting rid of an FBI that would have the temerity to operate independently or even antagonistically to the executive in power, which obviously does have political consequences, right? But that doesn't mean that it's being weaponized by a political party. It might mean that it's just operating on an arm's length basis. Now, you know, they get into emails and they find emails between FBI agents at the time of the investigation of the Russiagate thing that suggested that those independent agents had political views that were contrary to the person they were investigating. Well, you know what? That's going to happen in any circumstance.
Do you think there's any real danger in this coming to fruition?
Well, there's a real danger that this kind of pressure will push these agencies into more docile behavior, more obeisant behavior. They'll be quieter about being independent and more likely to not be independent. That's what really is going to happen. I don't see them getting dissolved and recreated, but wow, I worry about what would be recreated if they were dissolved.
You know, Sandy, I've never been a great fan of the FBI historically because there's some things that they've done in the past under different leadership that was just outrageous and outlandish.
Well, the FBI, clearly there's always a problem with the CIA or the FBI. Entities that operate onto themselves have the capacity to be powerful unto themselves. And J. Edgar Hoover ran the FBI as his own fiefdom and obviously used it to carry out his political and create political power on his
right.
behalf. That was a problem. And that kind of thing should be investigated and evaluated. And it happily was revealed sufficiently so that hopefully the FBI was healed in the process. I'm sure that the FBI and the CIA, quite frankly, should be much better understood by the government itself, and its feet should be held to the fire to operate as it should operate.
So it runs independently of the government?
Well, to the extent that it has to have the capacity to prosecute
the government
officials
itself,
it needs to be independent from the government in that respect. The CIA is a little different, but the CIA can run amok internationally, right? I mean, it can.
Yeah, nobody knows it.
Nobody knows what it's doing. It can meddle in different countries' affairs. It can do it at the behest of a president who doesn't really have to let Congress know much about it.
But there clearly is a need for that entity in the way the things are set up today. There needs to be a branch or an arm, call it FBI or whatever you call it.
There needs to be oversight over any organization that exercises unilateral powers. There needs to be oversight over local police forces. We found that out.
Right.
And there needs to be oversight. So I don't criticize the notion of oversight over the FBI. I just would criticize the notion that it should be
defunded.
That it should be treated as if it is overall a poisonous place, okay?
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. There's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.